We really appreciate everyone joining us for the half-year results. Really excited about where the company is and look forward to giving everyone an update on the business and key initiatives. This really is an absolutely, it's an exciting time for the management here because so much of the work we've done over the past 18 months has really coming to fruition. And it's good to see how so much of this work is now coming together and is positioned to Lightium for a strong year. Some of the key things do want to address that have helped get us to this point is that the one with the new management team now in place, that word team is now very well established, and everyone is really has established their place here, and is really working well. There are numerous improvements that we've been able to make over the past 18 months. The commercialization strategy really has been a great boost in terms of how we take new products to market, and we'll talk about that in relation to our Alexi-Cool foam product, also for AlexiSlam NF for sock. Been able to make significant improvements in operations, and also significantly, we have been able to integrate all the teams here into the innovation process. So that as we are developing new product lines or targeting new markets, we have both on the financial side for cost modeling for ourselves and modeling for what the customer's cost would look like, and the commercialization strategies in terms of what is the right path to market, and also on the technical side in terms of what does the final product actually need to perform as. All of this is now well integrated into a wholesome system, and really has made us much more efficient and productive in the things that we do. Another key advance that we've had over the past 18 months is that we have now been able to address the burdens of debt that we had with GPB. That's been addressed, and the it's now got us in a position where we have an improved capital structure. And this now has us positioned to realize the significant opportunities that we have in front of Alexi-Cool for the next year. Also, it does notably free up time for Jason and myself. We have really been spending a significant amount of time over the past 12 months working out what would be the best way to manage the debt. And with that now handled, it allows us to put greater attention to the business, obviously, which is what everyone wants to see from us. Lastly, I do want to comment on Collington Capital coming in as a cornerstone investor and Simon Moore joining as a director. When Jason and I first talked about Collington's engagement, we came to the same conclusion that Alexi-Cool is able to be more successful by having Collington as part of the effort. And that has really already proven itself true over the past couple of months. The engagement has been positive. Everyone's worked well together. And their perspective really has been valuable. And I think it will shape the path of success for Alexi-Cool. Now, what we'll be doing in the call is have really three main parts. We will have Jason go through the half-year report and provide a review there. Also, we'll take some time to go through the key initiatives and review for that. And then we'll go through a brief Q&A. Respecting the fact that I know everyone has already spent a significant amount of time here, we will do our best to be efficient and not ramble, and that's more of an issue for myself than Jason. So with that said, I will hand this over to Jason and let him pick up on the review of the half-year report.
Thank you, Bob. Once again, apologize for technical difficulties, everybody. I will speak to the half-year report. All values I will speak to are in U.S. dollars unless otherwise noted. H1 FY20 sales of $3.2 million is up 105% from the same period year over year, with new sales of Alexi-Cool in the foam bedding market and increased sales in top of bed and textile. Sales are down 10% from H2 2019, mainly due to overstock of inventory with Pegasus. These sales are expected to resume in Q4. We continue to have margin improvement of 9.8 percentage points from the comparable period, with margins just under 40%. Operating expenses were down $600,000 or 18% as we continue to substantiate spends before they occur. Headcount at the end of the year was 24 with no open positions and is now stabilized at 22. We experienced a $1.4 million improvement in EBIT. Admittedly, it is still an operating loss, but nonetheless demonstrates the impacts of sales growth and cost containment. Due to derivative accounting of the GPP term loan retirement, we experienced a loss on the extinguishment of $1.5 million offset with a fair value change of $0.2 million. For cash flows, excluding cash received from the capital raise, the cash burn for the first 6 months was $2.5 million, which included $737,000 of GPP term interest, term loan interest. Net cash from operating activities improved by $1 million, with increased cash receipts of $2.2 million offset by increased raw material purchases of $1.4 million. Cash operating expenses were down $400,000 from the prior period, the comparable period, excuse me. We received a total of $11.1 million USD from the rights issue, tranche one placement, and convertible note combined, and net of transaction costs. On December 31, the GPP term loan of $9 million plus fees for a total of $9.5 million was repaid in full. Tranche 2 placement occurred in January and contributed an additional $3.8 million before capital raise fees. The new convertible note of 5.15 million Australian at 6% interest reduces our annual cash interest expense by $1 million U.S. dollars. Alexium now has the runway it needs while it commercializes its efforts for its strategic initiatives while adding customers to its core business. For the balance sheet, we continue to improve cash conversion cycle year over year with better turns in AR and inventory. At July 1st, we adopted the ASB 16 accounting for leases, which resulted in the capitalization of our lease facility in Greer, South Carolina at $900,000 with an offsetting liability for the same amount. The net impact to the P&L is minimal with an additional expense of $8,000 compared to the previous standard. The new convertible note was recorded as a note along with its derivative liability. The GPP note and its derivative liability was extinguished with the loss previously mentioned. The independent auditor's review contains the same qualified opinion as the June 30 annual report with respect to the current value of capitalized development costs. Management is still confident that the recoverable amount is greater than the carrying value of this asset. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jason. From what I'm seeing here, I think we now got everyone who is able to hear. And obviously, I appreciate, again, your patience there. Do want to mention to everyone that there are two different mechanisms. If you'd like to submit questions for us to review, one, you can use the chat room function within the WebEx portal. Also, if you would like to simply email that to us through our investor relations email address, that is ir@alexiuminternational.com, and we will be monitoring both of those to take the questions. Now, I'd like to turn to the business update and a look at the key initiatives. I think that the looking at the half-year presentation that we have that went out yesterday, the two most important slides that has a lot of information that I think would, gives a lot of context in terms of exactly where Alexium is slides 5 and 6. I wanted to give a brief review of those and give you some context in terms of how we have this laid out. Now, slide 5, you can see where we have the major initiatives of what Alexium is doing. And one change that we have made with this presentation, and we'll be doing so going forward, is we're talking about general electrical sales, and this could be for foam applications or textile applications. That is really going to, we're going to be addressing that through that broad category number one of general electrical sales. This includes a range of opportunities that are of work with our customers that are in the pipeline. This would include both prospect stage work, but also final commercialization. And this really has been this segment of Alexium's efforts has been the source of revenue growth over the past year, and has been and will continue to be the basis for incremental revenue growth for Alexium over the, as we go forward. Now, the one thing I do want to discuss within this category, because it has been a major initiative over the past 12 months, has been the growth of our sales of electrical products for foam applications. This really has gone exceedingly well. I think a testament to the commercialization strategy that Alan Ryman has brought in, also his coordination with the product development team. And we now have our products going into top of bed applications, that are for major retailers based out of the U.S. Also, new sales that are going into a major online retailer for mattresses in the United States. It is one of their first cooling-based applications that they've had. Now, with this new retailer, I do want our new brand, I should say, I do want to clarify that this is a separate brand from what we discussed early in the year of 2019, where we signed a supply agreement with a major mattress brand. So this is a new route to market for us. Now, when you look at the other four opportunities that we have laid out on slide five, you know, these really are major initiatives that are at a different level than what we typically have done with, you know, for recent sales over the past year. These are opportunities that, as you can see, looking at both the addressable market and the near-term market, really provide a step change in revenue and are going to be a significant step forward for Alexion. Some of these are familiar, such as the work we do with FR Nyco and Alexion NF, which we're working with ICO. But also there's some new opportunities here, such as the total mattress cooling system, Alexion NF. What I'd like to do is first discuss initiatives 2 and 3, because those are the new opportunities. I do want people to understand exactly what these new segments mean. First, let's start with category 2, which is the Alexicool total mattress cooling system. What Alexium has been able to do over the past year, this has been an initiative that's really been going for over 12 months now, is how do we leverage the portfolio of products that we have from textile applications, foam applications, and even some newer initiatives that we've had in product development. Couple that with the analytical tools, and we now have a unique approach for how we design a mattress to be a really next-level performing cooling technology, where now you have all segments of the bed that are working in unison to provide very unique marketing claims, stronger marketing claims that help our customers differentiate themselves in the market. This has really been to go to this more comprehensive, integrated approach for working with our customers, where we're not simply talking about a single component, has been a major focus for Alexion. And the value really is readily apparent. First, it allows us to leverage analytics, which is key to our value proposition. Because what we're able to demonstrate is how by having not simply a collection of individual components, but all of those working together in unison as a system can provide unique value, and it helps to show what value we bring to our customers. Additionally, by having electrical products integrated in multiple components within the mattress, it increases the value that Alexion is able to recover on a per mattress unit basis. So it really does help to provide that as I said, a kind of step change in what revenue looks like for Alexion. Now, this total mattress cooling system is fundamental to our commercial strategies for Alexion as we go forward. We obviously will continue to do work on a range of different products with customers. But in terms of major efforts, this really is going to be a focus for us. Now, as you look on slide 6, you will see where we have some guidelines to give you a sense of when revenue would be starting for these. And you can see that it is in the second half of this calendar year we anticipate seeing revenue from these programs. As you look on slide 7, I won't go through them in detail here due to time constraints for obvious reasons, but it does lay out the milestones in terms of what we see as next step. And as I think is readily apparent by the milestones that we have remaining, that this stage is in this work is in its final stage. If anyone has any further questions about the total mattress cooling systems and the work we're doing there and what they might expect from that, again, I encourage you to submit questions online. Next, I want to talk about Alexion NF for SOC. This is an opportunity that we first made aware to investors back in October of last year. And to give you a sense of for anyone who is new to the Alexion story, all foam mattresses in the U.S. are required to have an FR barrier, which they call a SOC, very much like SOC in terms of how it can be stretched, that helps to minimize the flammability that would occur with the foam should there be a combustion event. Now, what we have found is that Alexion can use its LexBlend NF product and apply it to a cotton-based sock and allow that to provide the FR performance. Now, it's notable that when we first introduced that to investors, it was at a very early stage, and since then, the team's efforts there have been going extremely well. We're very satisfied with the prototype work, and frankly, all the technical efforts are effectively done, and our drive now is on production, logistics, and supply chain in preparing for that. Two key updates that I do want to provide around that is that, as you can see on slide 8, where we detail what the initiatives look like, our focus is really on production scale and getting everything ready for the final bed burn. Once we have UL testing done on those beds, that then frees up Alan and his commercial team to then take that to customers. Now, notably, we have already had a number of conversations with customers, and the feedback from the market has been very positive. And frankly, they've been pulling as much as we've been pushing. So really are encouraged to see that engagement and are focused on finishing up this production work as quickly as we can. And this is going to be a major priority for us over the next couple months. One other notable insight that we've gained as we've worked on the FR stock effort is that when we first approached our customers about this, the lead point was that it could be significantly cheaper for them and that we could provide a cost savings there. What we've actually found over the past few months is that the hazards associated with the incumbent product, which is the glass fiber-based sock, is the most driving concerns from the market. I will say 1 to 2 years ago, there was a major bit of news that came out where a family was had some children that were jumping on a bed that had the glass fiber sock on it, and the fibers ended up being tossed into the air, and the children aspirated the fibers, ended up having to go to the emergency room. Ultimately, ended up that the house had to be abandoned because the glass fibers went into the ventilation system and then exposed the entire house to that. That level of exposure to consumers is obviously of a major concern for all mattress brands. And to have an alternative that can allow them to go to something that is consumer-friendly, like a cotton-based product, really is a focus for the market. And I think this is really going to be a greater motivator for them to adopt the product than the cost itself. So really encouraged by that. Again, you can look at slide 6 to get a sense of what the timing for commercialization of NF SOC looks like, and this is going to be occurring in the second half of the calendar year. It's just a matter of us following through the milestones that we have laid out later in the presentation. Lastly, I do want to talk about FR NICA and talk about the progress that we've had there. Obviously, the work we do in FR NICO is using our Lexaflam FR product to flame retard nylon cotton fabric as used for military uniforms. The strategy that we laid out in October remains unchanged, where we are focused right now on Marines and will continue to work with the adoption by the other branches of the military. We really have had excellent progress on FR NICO over the past 2 months. I want to give two updates there. Obviously, as we've laid out previously, our focus right now is finalizing the manufacturing process for FR NICO, and then which would then allow us to move on to testing and evaluation. The focus on the manufacturing process, to give everyone a little bit of insight there on what that looks like, has been about ensuring we have a consistent application for the fabric. Now, in this January, we've been able to make some minor tweaks to that application process, and we have now had a tenfold improvement in that consistency, where we're now getting a very even deposition across the fabric. This has been an excellent step forward and is really what we need to see happen on the manufacturing scale, and notably is really a testament to how well Alexion and Pine Belt have worked together to drive this effort forward. What is now occurring on Pine Belt side is any further optimization they need to do just for optimization of the process and equipment, but we're very encouraged by the process that we've had to date. Additionally, I want to note that earlier in the approximately 4 weeks ago, earlier in February, we had Roisin Garnon, the chairperson, and also Simon Moore, Lyxeum non-executive director, who visited us here in Greer, and we went down and met with Pine Belt. Really was a very productive meeting, and it was a great opportunity for Pine Belt's leadership to also meet with management and the board and us get coordinated on exactly what is needed for us to move forward in terms of logistics and supplying for this opportunity as we move it forward. And so really has been a, again, further strengthened the partnership that we have there with Pine Belt. Now, I do want to note again that on slide 6 does provide a timing for revenue. Do want to note that this much of the work that we've talked about around Pine Belt and FR NICO has been focused on getting the testing and evaluation going, also the wear trial efforts. And the timing shown in this arrow is not time to a wear trial effort. It's actually for looking toward where we would anticipate revenues from that opportunity. Lastly, one thing I did want to add is regarding the work that we're doing with ICL. We're looking for them to be a distributor of our Lexflam NF product. We really have met with ICL back in December and further meetings here in January, and we are now really buttoning up the fine details on that, and we're really encouraged by the next steps there. The most notable thing that I've seen with ICL, the work that we've had with ICL, is that they have a clear vision of where they see this product fitting in the market. They've been able to see the type of opportunities that we've identified for Lexflam NF and really have been able to springboard off those and take that to adjacent opportunities. So it really is a testament to what is the value of working with someone like ICL to commercialize our products. They have a global reach and a insight into the FR markets broadly that it would take years for Lexium to grow. And it really is a very encouraged by where we are in the effort, and I look forward to providing updates to everyone on that in the second half of fiscal year 2020. Now, with that said, in the interest of time, I think we'll want to move to the Q&A. So, Jason, if you have a couple questions that you want to go through.
So last year it was suggested that the expansion of AlexaCool into foam would provide a solid boost to revenues. Has the adoption of AlexaCool into bedding foam been as expected?
It has. As we said, we've had some adoption by new mattress brands, also adoption into the top of bed market. I would say that when you look at the pipeline, it's a pretty even mix between what we have with textiles and foam. I think most notably what that work on the total mattress cooling systems, without having that foam product, it really is, we're not able to provide that level of innovation with our customers, and it's notable that's been able to drive that forward.
What is holding the sale of FR into the wider market, i.e. non-military? Well, I believe that was answered through our ICL commercialization.
Yeah, I think that, we do have a range of products. What I infer from that question, Jason, is looking at the work we're doing for the military and NICO, is there ability to take it more broadly? I 100% believe that would be the case, but it is, resources-wise, we really need to focus on those areas where we have the greatest momentum. Obviously, Pine Belt is going very well. Additionally, I think that once we get validation of our product with the military, that does allow us to then leverage that product line that we've used for NICO and then take it into other segments such as the workwear, first responders, and others. AlexaFlam NF, given the how ubiquitous the cotton-based products are for flame-retardant applications, there really is a much more diverse range of products, and that's where a lot of our focus is now, where for new applications of FR, we're focused on the cotton sock product for Lexium-driven efforts, And then obviously we'll be working with ICL on efforts on their side.
Have tight finances been a factor in why it appears to take so long from product development to revenue generation, or is this just how long it takes? I think this is how long it takes. We have the right amount of folks in our R&D group focusing on the right things, and this is a true product development, which is custom performance chemicals for in the lexical and along with the military product.
I agree. One thing I would add there as well, Jason, we based on the work we've done over the past year, we have much better insights in terms of what the sales cycle looks like for the commercial team. And when you have more standard applications, such as what we're doing with the new online retailer for whom we're selling a phone product, I want to say that the time for commercialization there was only 6 months. It's quite short. And more standard applications like that, that's something that we can work with a customer in less than a year and get that adopted. When you're looking at the major initiatives, such as what you see with Sean in the half-year presentation, such as the total mattress cooling systems, the work we're doing on NICO, you can these tend to be longer term. They're market disruptive technologies. And there are more twists and turns because it does require implementation of a new technology and a whole new marketing strategy from the customer. So getting that fully realized and over the line, I think, is something that does take more time.
Less than 6 months ago, in the same month that a capital raise was announced, was stated that the company was expecting to reach EBITDA by the end of 2019. What happened within a short space of time that caused this target to be missed?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. I'm glad that was raised. It was, as we said in the half-year report, the last bullet on slide 7, we really see the total cooling mattress systems as being a key part of this of us getting to cash flow positive. By having such a comprehensive system where you have foam suppliers, textile suppliers, it's a much more complicated supply chain, and while for a major opportunity that we have going, the guidance was that it was going to be a launch in January of this year, but the supply chain could not react fast enough, and effectively it just got pushed out to the second half of 2020. While our customers we were all prepared to supply and ready to kick into gear at the end of calendar year 2019. Ultimately, it's the mattress brands dictate when these products go to market. And once we saw that was going to be delayed, that's really what drove that miss on the EBITDA target there.
Near term targets are $45 million USD. What is the definition of near term?
Near term is, if you look in the slide 5, there's a footnote there that does give a definition of near term, and I just recommend people look at that for guidance. Also, look at slide 6. You can see where we have different different initiatives that will be reaching maturity and will be commercialized and with revenue. With sales occurring according as shown with the schedule shown on slide 6. And I think that gives you a good sense of what we're speaking to at the near term.
Okay. This is last April, Lexaflam NF was approved by the EPA and an MOU for distribution was signed with ICL. Following in October, it was stated that there would be market penetration of NF in workwear in 2020. Via the distribution partnership with ICL. According to this week's presentation, commercialization of NF with ICL is still a year away. What happened to cause the timeline?
Obviously, I think we signed the MOU with ICL in around, I would say, March of 2019, a ballpark guide there. It has taken some time for us to get to a point where we can move forward with ICL. And, you know, frankly, that's always part of the burden of working with a global company like that. Working with someone like a Pine Belt, who's a more of a specialized provider, they can be much more nimble and it moves quicker. Now, in terms of commercialization efforts, those will be full swing in 2020. And you know, I think that the sales cycle for FR does take longer than what you would see with Light School. So this is just our sense of what that timing would be. Given time frame, I think we will need to take just one last question. We did have someone post a question regarding what is the impact of the coronavirus for our customers and ourselves, because obviously this has been very impactful to the global markets. What we have seen is that because our mattress customers are all handled, all the supply chain is within the is domestic, that there's been, I have not seen any evidence of impact to that segment of our customers. For top of bed, we have seen we are seeing them having to adjust and you know, adjust their supply chain so they can still meet their needs, what their customers are expecting of them. So you know, top of bed typically has been the segment of our business where we do have manufacturing out of Southeast Asia. And that is the area that has been most impacted by the coronavirus. So we are working diligently with our customers so that they can, you know, adjust the supply chain and respond to the needs of the retailers. Now, with that, I appreciate again everyone sticking around through the technical difficulties. Hopefully, you found it worthwhile based on some of the updates that we provided here. I do have a few other details that I did want to address. First, we've had some inquiries from shareholders regarding what is our top 20 investors. And what we've, Jason and I have discussed, and Roisin agrees, is that we are going to post the top 20 shareholders on our website. And that way, everyone's able to access that and also doesn't have any type of a fees associated with any type of external services that are used. And then, yeah, we hope to have that posted. Jason, you're thinking you'll have it posted tomorrow. So you can look for that on our website. Additionally, I do also want to comment that, as you may have seen on the ASX today, that Claire Pohl, who's a non-executive director with Alexium, she is will no longer be with Alexium. She has submitted her resignation. And this has really just been her trying to be able to put greater focus on her executive career and allow her to you know, free up time there. Claire has been with Alexium for, I believe, a little over 2 years now, and really has been a great benefit to the company as we've been going through the you know, significant change and improvements that we've seen over the past 18 months. And just want to acknowledge her assistance and help and all that, and we wish her the best. Finally, do want to offer that we are having a recording of this. I promise you that the first 35 minutes will be edited out. And then, but in case anyone was not able to hear the entirety of the conference call, we will be posting that on the website. I would say that that's actually going to happen on Tuesday Australian time, because it will take some time for us to get that edited and posted. Once again, appreciate everyone's patience, and thank you for joining the call. And we look forward to talking with you all soon. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. We thank you greatly for your participation. And ask that you please...